This morning's public reading from God's Word comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. We're going to be reading in our hearing verses 10 to verse 22. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10 to verse 22. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto him, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from his stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Amen. Please be seated. May God choose to bless his word. What I would like to focus on in this reading, is the insensitivity of this religious leader. The insensitivity and the heartlessness and the cruelty of this religious leader. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered, notice, with indignation. He was very angry. He was ticked off. He was mad that Jesus would interrupt the synagogue proceedings by taking time out to minister to this woman who needed to be healed. Because that Jesus healed what? On the Sabbath day. I've mentioned this, so I'm going to repeat it because it's found here. It would seem that Jesus went out of his way on numerous occasions, especially on the Sabbath day while in a synagogue, to perform a miracle. And by doing so, automatically alienating the religious aristocracy of his day. Those that ran the temple complex, those that should have been the most compassionate people under heaven, but they were not. Jesus seemed to go out of his way to alienate the religious leaders of his day. And I make no apology for that statement. All you got to do is read the four Gospels, sit down with a pad of paper, and journal how many times Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and then the reaction of those, especially the religious leaders who were in attendance at that time. Do that study on your own. But notice verse 11. Dr. Brother Luke is the only Gentile who wrote and contributed 2 books of our New Testament. Every other writer of the New Testament was a believing Jew in the Lord Jesus. And being a doctor, here's one of those examples where Luke goes a little bit beyond just simply telling us that somebody was in bad shape physically and that they needed to be healed. Notice the doctor in Dr. Luke. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. So he goes out of your way to tell you how long she's been ill and was bowed down. Okay, he tells you what her physical condition was and could in no wise lift up herself. That's the doctor and Dr. Brother Luke. So when you read the miracles in the Gospel of Luke, home in on how Luke spends just a little extra ink in giving you some of the things that would be very interesting to a doctor. Okay? Now, notice also verse 16. Something else we are told about this particular malady. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Satan had bound. Well, I'll go back to verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Notice, he goes a little deeper with his diagnosis. This was an illness brought on by demonic activity. And he says she was bowed together. What do we find in verse 16? Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years. Should she not be loosed from this bond or this bondage on the Sabbath day? Now, we have some well-intended experts who try to tell us that Jesus somehow got rid of the Sabbath. We are no longer under the law of Moses, especially the moral law, apparently, because the Sabbath observance was not part of the ceremonial nor the civil law. The Sabbath was actually engraved on stone and is actually a moral duty on the part of man. Even the ruler says that in verses 14. He says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. Now, he was wrong on his conclusion, but he was right on the matter that God gives us 6 days to do whatever, and then on the Sabbath day is a day that has been consecrated to his worship. Now, for those of us under the new covenant, we worship on the first day of the week because that is when the tomb was discovered to be empty. And so there are those who tell us that Jesus was going around bashing the Sabbath, kind of in an arrogant manner, just to kind of snub it into the Pharisees' face. That's not what Jesus was doing, my dear expert. What Jesus was actually doing on the Sabbath day was correcting the misuse and the misteaching on the part of the religious leaders about the Sabbath. There are several things that are lawful on the Sabbath. You got to eat, right? There's nothing wrong in eating breakfast before you go to church. You're not committing a sin. And when you go back home, or when you go home from church, having lunch or dinner is not a crime. What else did Jesus do on the Sabbath? He taught the people on the Sabbath on many occasions. And where? The synagogue. So we can teach. That's what we do in church, don't we? Don't we teach and preach the scriptures? And then what else did Jesus do, as is found here? Acts of kindness, acts of generosity, acts of mercy. Doing good things for people. And so many churches have extra ministries on this first day of the week, visiting shut-ins, visiting nursing homes, right? Maybe working in a soup kitchen, things of that nature, that's all lawful. Jesus was not abrogating the Sabbath. He was correcting the misuse and the misteachings about the Sabbath and putting it in its proper usage, my dear friends. But then again, how do we deal with this heartless religious leader? When it comes to pastoring, when it comes to leading God's people, There is to be compassion. There is to be mercy. There is to be going out of the way, literally taking off the shirt on one's back to minister to the flock. But there are also times when a pastor needs to tell people the truth. He needs to admonish, he needs to encourage, he needs to warn, and at times he needs to rebuke. But this particular leader here was heartless and cruel. Notice verse 15, "Thou hypocrite." Right in front of everyone. Notice Jesus doesn't take him to the back office of the synagogue office. Jesus nails him in front of everyone. Poor Jesus. He didn't know about custom and courtesy. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass to go eat and to drink water? Isn't it amazing that this religious hypocrite, he had more compassion for his animals, which he should have had, but he had more compassion for them, even on the Sabbath day, than this poor woman whom Jesus sought to heal. So, beloved, we need to be very careful with our Christianity. We can be so fixated on being so doctrinally sound that we lose our heart and our compassion. There is to be a balance between doctrinally sound and doctrinally compassionate at the same time. Yes, raise your flag high for the kingdom, but also raise up that flag with a red cross on a white banner, in the sense that you, even on this day, would be willing to help and come to the aid of someone who's truly in need. Well, may God choose to bless his word.